morning, Grace Point. It may be afternoon or evening when you are watching this. But you know, we certainly live in tumultuous times. But we can take comfort in trusting that our loving Heavenly Father holds each of us in the palm of His hands. Last week, our sermon series through Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, we asked the question, do you know God? The apostle prayed in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. As followers of Jesus, we are not encouraged not to be fearful or anxious. We're actually commanded not to be afraid. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and He's not just simply suggesting that we should not be afraid. He's emphatically stating it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So if we're commanded not to be anxious, how do we avoid being anxious in a 24/7 news cycle that's constantly covering this pandemic that is threatening everything that we have become accustomed to? But therein lies the problem. We are so accustomed to our lives being predictable. Our health, for the most part, we can take care of ourselves through our advanced healthcare systems and medication. We trust in the government. We trust in the healthcare systems. But when we trust in man and his systems, we will always be disappointed. Jesus, at the end of Matthew 6, after he said that we are not to be anxious, he gives the antidote to fear and anxiety. Here it is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In this season of uncertainty, are we going to lean into God and meditate on the truths of God's word, or are we going to go and look to man for the answers that only God can give? God is never fearful. God's never panicked. He's never rushed. As true followers of Jesus, we belong to him and are in his care. Therefore, we can remain calm. We can remain at peace in any circumstance. Isaiah 26, verse 3 to 4 says, "If you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." I believe that this is a wonderful opportunity for the church to proclaim the good news, to serve our neighbors and our community, not living in fear, but boldly walking in the fact that we know our trust is in the one who created the universe. But more than that, he holds all things together, and the one who died for our sins, who was also raised back to life and now lives forever to pray, to intercede for us in heaven. This same Jesus is coming back soon. We have always said that the church is not the building. And now we get to show that. There are many opportunities for outreach in our communities. We have people in our churches and in our neighborhoods that are homebound. And we can go in and check on them. We can go and pray for them, care for them, see if there's anything they need, go and do some shopping for them. We can bless and check in on people, making cards that just say, "Hey, we care about you," and drop them in their mailbox. We could shop for people and care for them in that way. But we could also be prayer walking in our communities. It's vital at this time that we are praying for our neighbors, praying for our communities, blessing our communities. So a great way to do that, we need to get out and enjoy the spring weather. So just take a walk around your neighborhood and pray for your neighborhood. Pray for your community. Today, I want to continue to move through Ephesians chapter 1. And only God could have set this up, because the next few verses are dealing with exactly what we need to hear in our season of uncertainty today. Follow me in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. We're going to specifically focus on verses 19 to 23, but we're going to read from verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We left off last week at the end of verse 18, and in verse 19, Paul continues to pray. He's been praying for revelation, that the eyes of their hearts will be opened, that they would understand what is the immeasurable greatness of his power, God's power, toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. God is all-powerful, and we have no way to even to begin to understand that. God is not simply more powerful or a greater collection of energy. God is the source and the sum of all power. There's nothing in all creation that does not derive its power from God in the first place. Paul uses in this passage four Greek words to describe power. But here's the incredible news. This all-powerful being, this uncreated creator of all things, his power is for us. His power is given to all who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. The power of God is available to us to overcome temptation, to overcome fear, to overcome anxiety and demonic warfare. This is even more relevant to us today in March 2020 than where we are suddenly faced with uncertainty and the realization of our own inability to control our own destiny. Here's the problem. We so easily forget that we are weak and unable to do anything against Satan in our own strength. We saw last week that we have an overinflated opinion of our own intellect and of our own strength and a low view of God. We don't fully grasp the level of the warfare that we're engaged in. Satan hates you and me. Satan hates the church. His plan is to destroy the church. His plan is to destroy your life, your family, your marriage, your livelihood. We as Christians need to lean into Christ, rely on the power of God, this immeasurable power that is for us. More than that, it is in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We must learn to pray for his resurrection power to strengthen us and empower us to live victoriously for him in our day-to-day lives. How relevant is this for us today? In verse 20, Paul writes that this immeasurable power is the power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is living in us and is for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Paul states, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." This power is in us to share the gospel, to pursue holiness, to stand firm against the temptations and plans of the devil. to have faith that despite the news reports, God is still working out his perfect plan for all of history. The challenge that we face in the church today and in our own personal lives is that we have a power problem. We have a shortage of power. A few years ago, we had a powerful storm that ripped through Kansas City and a tremendous thunderstorm in the summer. And it brought many trees down. And along with the trees, we lost many power lines and many houses went without electricity. And it was a day that our team left to go on our mission trip to Cincinnati. It was good for me and the rest of the team, but bad for Debbie and Joshua, who stayed behind. They endured 3 or 4 days without power. And if you ask Debbie, she'd probably say it was 3 or 4 weeks without power. But the food in the freezer went bad. The air conditioning didn't work. It was a miserable time. At least I'm told that. The problem was a lack of power, and that lack of power had multiple effects on the lives of those living in Kansas City at the time. The food went bad. There was discomfort. There was lack of communication. There was a frustration that set in. Cell phones, batteries died. But the same happens when we try to live the Christian life without leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit. The greatest power shortage today is not in our homes or in our communities or in our cars. It's in our personal lives. Will Paul's prayer be answered in your life? Do you know the power of God in your life? Will you start today? Begin to know by experiencing God, God's calling, God's riches, and God's power. J.B. Phillips, he wrote a short book called Your God is Too Small. And in it, he challenges us to look beyond that religious God that who we are able to quantify and to understand. This is why we lack faith. Our God is too small. This is why we struggle with passages in the Bible that we don't understand, because we reason with our limited minds and then we think that God in some way is limited to our understanding of him. The Apostle Paul then goes on a poetic flowing explanation of who Christ is now in his resurrected form. Verse 20, he begins, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and power and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's a lot of supremacy, a lot of power, a lot of fullness in all and over all. That's Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead, a miracle that we're going to celebrate in a few weeks at Easter time. But more than that, Jesus received the first resurrected body, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, a position of power and might above everything that has ever been created and ever will be. Everything is under the reign of King Jesus. Not only is every power inferior to Jesus, they are also subject to him. And when he comes again to take his bride, the church, to be with him, there'll be a no contest battle. Jesus will simply speak and all of creation will melt at his voice. I love Psalm 46. It's a perfect psalm for us to meditate in these times. Just listen to the first 6 verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into this heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. Not only is Jesus over all things, verse 22 and 23 of Ephesians chapter 1 state that he is over the church, which is his body. In these challenging times, we need to remember that God is for us. And more than that, the church is not simply a gathering place, a place where we come together at a certain time on a Sunday or during the week. But the church, the followers of Jesus, the body, are under the headship of Christ. And he has promised to build his church and to sustain his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we as the church are faced with a challenge. How do we function? I firmly believe that problems are just opportunities wrapped in a challenge. And Winston Churchill says that the pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. The optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. For the next few weeks, we will not meet as a large group in our building. But my prayer is that we will meet in small groups, in person or via video. We'll meet in homes. We will encourage one another. We will care for one another. We'll break bread together and fellowship with one another and pray for one another. Meeting one another's needs like the first century church did. I believe we'll emerge from this stronger as a church. We'll have stronger ties of fellowship and community. Don't retreat from community. We need each other. I need you and you need me. We need each other as the body of Christ, especially in times like this. More than that, our community needs us to be the church, reaching out in love and care and compassion and the deep knowledge that God has promised that his immeasurable power is still for us and working to build his church. I hope as you see this video, you're in a small group, you're in a home, you're with family. I hope that you will now begin to pray. Pray for one another. Pray in your small group and in your community, encouraging one another. Encourage one another with the truth of God's word. Join me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you, Lord, for your power that leads us to salvation, your presence in us and in your church. Lord, we pray for our community at this time. We pray for peace and calm to prevail. We pray for people to turn to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life in this challenging time. Lord, bless us and use us as your church for your glory. We pray for all the believers around the world, some meeting in secret, others meeting in seclusion. Lord, I pray for you to reveal afresh the power of God in us and working through us as the church for your glory. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.